But we're going to start in verse 153. So if you'd like to read it tonight out loud, you're sure welcome to get in line to do that. And so we see tonight that Psalms 119, what a chapter. It's all about God's Word, about His precepts and concepts and things of that nature here tonight. So you, Brother Keith, you go ahead and start us out here in verse 153. All right.
According to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.
Thank you, my brother.
Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have I which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept the testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee.
Thank you, sister.
Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise. When thou hast taught me thy statutes, my tongue shall speak of thy word. For all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let my judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments.
Thank you, my brother. Brother, you want to read 120?
Sure.
Yeah. Because we're going to continue reading these chapters.
Just hold 120, okay.
Chapter 120.
All right. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, with coals of juniper. Woe is me, that I sojourn in Mesekah, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul have long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are of war.
Thank you, my brother. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 John chapter 2, as we stand to our feet here this evening. And as we read verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. As we've been preaching through this book, and I pray that it's been a help to you. I know it's been a help to me. And I'm excited about tonight as well. Here in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm grateful here tonight that you give us the privilege to read your word. God, as we've already heard there in Psalms 119 and 1 John chapter 2, God, you've already thrilled our hearts with just the power and the authority of your word. God, as it is like honey that is sweet to our taste. God, it's like a sword that cuts. It's like a fire that burns. It's like a hammer that breaks. Your word tonight, dear God, will go forth. And God, it will accomplish, Lord, for why it's been sent. And so we're excited tonight, Lord, that the word of God abideth forever. And we're praying tonight, God, that you'd open our eyes and our hearts with it, that we may see truly where we are and see exactly, Father, what God's word has to say to us tonight. We've come to learn. We've come to grow. God, we come to eat. We come to drink. We come to worship. We come to serve. And Lord, I pray tonight you'll be pleased with all that we do. In Christ's holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So 1 John here tonight has been such a blessing to me that it has taught me so much. It has given me wisdom. It has given me understanding and clarity. It's helped me in so many ways and so many things. Tonight I pray it has you as well. But tonight I want to talk about a subject that I believe tonight is killing the church. I believe tonight a subject that is the greatest tool that the devil has used and will be using until the day the Lord comes and removes the church from this earth. And that word is worldliness. We find right there at the very beginning, it says, love not the world. The greatest danger tonight to the church, the greatest danger to the church tonight is not the external hate. Now, a lot of people around tonight hate the church. A lot of people tonight hate the Christian. A lot of people tonight hate our Bible. They hate our doctrines. They hate our stance. They hate our convictions. They hate the precepts and the concepts of the Scripture. The world tonight and all over the world are ones who just despise God's Word. They don't like it. They don't want it. They don't want to heed to it. They don't want to hear it. They want to somehow, some way, defile it. They want to add to it. They want to take away from it. Our God, our Savior, our Lord, our church tonight is not the greatest danger, is not them. Tonight, the greatest danger tonight is not externally. The greatest danger externally, like powers. Like the powers, the prince of the power of the air, the powers of principalities. I'm talking about like the devils, or we're talking about like evil spirits, or we're talking about powers of things tonight that could come and maybe do harm, it seems. But that's not the greatest danger to the church tonight. The Bible said, Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we're not worried about the powers tonight, or principalities, or princesses of the evil world. And yet tonight, it might be a thought that the external hate that the devil has and all his evil spirits on the church could be a danger. No, it can't. And I tell you something else tonight, the people doesn't affect the church either. As many people that hate the church, as many governments that hate the church, and as many leaders who hate the church, and many people tonight who are atheists and who have other ideas of the church tonight, they'll never remove the church. They'll never end the church. They'll never put the church out of business. They'll never take the church and create a danger upon it where the church will no longer be here. Nobody will do that. No power can do that. And then the politics of it. We find politics all over the place concerning the church, about our doctrine or about the Bible and its teachings on certain subjects, on certain topics tonight that's very offensive to many of people tonight. And so the politics of it. But you know, the greatest danger of the church is not externally. It's not what's going to happen on the outside that's going to come on the church and it's going to remove the church and replace the church and just replenish the church or just take the church and take it and remove it completely off the face of the earth. But I tell you what will. And that is the internal love. The internal love of the church. That is destructive. That's dangerous. What's going to take this church that we have tonight that we love. The Bible says, love not the world. Now, John is not talking to the world about not loving the world. John's not talking about the politics or the government or some other entity tonight to not love the world. He's not talking about the heathens. He's not talking about the pagans. He's not talking about the lost. He's not talking about any other group except one group. And that one group tonight is my little children. That's who he's talking to, chapter 2 and verse 1. We find that these things that are written to us are written to the church. He's saying to us, the church. He's saying to us, the Christian. He's saying to us that are born of God, born again. He says to us, love not the world. See, loving the world tonight is worldliness. And loving the world tonight is what's the dangerous tool that the devil could use to the church. I don't know about you, but if you have been looking at all, you'll know that the church has gotten worldly. If you have not noticed that the church has become more like the world, the preaching is like the world, the practicing is like the world, the pastor is like the world, and the pew has become like the world. We find that the world, that the church now has its mindset that it's an organization rather than an organism. The pastor and the leaders of churches today have brought churches into such level that they now have designed it and organized it in such a way that it becomes an office and it becomes an organization, and it becomes a business. And so we find from that perspective, the church has lost all of its ability to do what the church was asked to do originally. Worldliness. Worldliness. Now let's talk about this world. Can I say tonight that this world is a world, and how would you describe it? You describe it like this tonight, if you want to write this down. The world is a satanic system that opposes Christ. When he talks about the world here, he's not talking about the creation of the world. He's not talking about people. He's not talking about animals. He's not talking about trees. He's not talking about fruit. He's not talking about atmosphere. He's not talking about planets. He's not talking about rocks. He's not talking about things that God has created, God has made. That's not what he's talking about. When he talks about the world tonight, he's saying to the church, love not the satanic system that opposes Christ. That's what he's saying. So tonight you say, well, how do you know that this world is concerned to us that it is a satanic system? Well, because of the God of this world. So let's go through a Bible study tonight and let's just get through this foundation, because I want you to see that if you don't believe that the world tonight is a satanic system, then you won't get the Scripture at all tonight. It'll go right by you and through you, and you'll just, as it has been in your life, really not that important. But we find tonight that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 4, it tells us tonight that this world has a god of this world. Now, the god of this world, if you look at that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says, in whom the god, that's a little g, G-O-D, little g, not talking about the God, the creator, but talking about the little god created, that he is the god of this world. All right? So the god of this world is Satan, and this is his world. And so we know that this system that is set place in this world is a satanic system that you and I are not to love. We know this also, if you turn your Bibles to John chapter 12 and look there in about verse 31. Hope you wrote your Bible tonight. If you didn't, I don't understand why you even came. You can't bring a Bible when you come to church. Just stay with the Bible. Wherever your Bible's at, be with the Bible. Amen? So, young as you are, as old as you are, it don't matter. Come to church with the Bible. So here in John chapter 12 and verse 31, the Bible says, he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." So now we have a prince of this world. The prince of this world is the god of this world. John 16:11, just a few chapters over, again gives us that same thought. It says, "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So now we have the prince of the world, the prince of the world, the god of this world. John chapter 14, verse 30, back up just a little bit there. And the Bible says, "Hereafter I will not talk with much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." And so we find tonight that the prince of the world, the god of this world, the G-O-D, little g, is the satanic, is Satan, is the devil tonight, and this is his world. Now that's what we are not to love, is the world tonight, is the satanic system. Now in Matthew chapter 4, turn with me there if you don't mind, and Jesus is now about to confront this devil, confront the Satan himself. We know that's true in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, be tempted of the devil." So we know it's true. And then you go to verse 8, and you'll find that what the devil says to Jesus, he says, "And again the devil taketh him up into the exceeding high mountains and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world." So now the world has kingdoms. And it says, "And the glory of them," and so every kingdom has glory. And verse 9 says, "He saith unto him," that's the devil saith unto Jesus, "All these things will I give thee," as if he is in charge of them or as if he owns them. He's the god of the world. He's the prince of the world. And he's telling Jesus, he said, if you will bow down, if you'll fall down and worship me, I will give you the kingdoms of this world and I will give you the glory of the kingdom. So we know by just those statements tonight that this world is a satanic system of the devil tonight. Not only is the god of this world, but there's the guide in this world. How is this world being guided? What is the part of it? Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, what's so important about that verse, if you want to turn there to see it here tonight, it says not only the world, but it says the whole world. Now, that word whole there, it means all, it means complete. It means every bit of the world, of the satanic system, is completely lying in wickedness. So we talk about the complete system here. From the start to the finish, it's lying in wickedness. From its purpose to its plans, it lies in wickedness. From its power to its people, it lies in wickedness. And so when I talk about the world tonight, I'm talking about a satanic system. When I say the world tonight, I mean the complete system. The whole world. It's all encompassing of everything that belongs to Satan or that Satan would be part of. For example, tonight, the world has the cares of this world. You don't have to turn there, but I was going to give you the references so you can have them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 talks about the cares of this world. So this world has cares, and it controls, and it It endeavors and it moves the lives of people, the cares of this world. We find that in Luke chapter 16, verse 8, there's the children of this world. And so this world has children. This world has cares. This world also has hate. John 7:7 says, the world cannot hate you, but it hated me. So the world hates Jesus. Now who is the world? The world is the satanic system. The complete world. The whole world that you and I, that we live in, and that we see, that world hates Jesus. Why would you love something that hates Jesus? There's the rejection of the world. The Bible says in John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So what does the world reject? What does this satanic system reject? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. What does this world hate? Jesus. So there's a hate of this world. There's a rejection of this world. There's a love of this world. John 15:19 says, if you were of the world will love his own. So who does the world love? The world loves his own. That's who the world loves. Who does the world hate? Jesus. Who does the world reject? The Spirit of truth. It cannot receive it. And so we find some other things tonight. Now the enemy of this world, John chapter 17, verses 9 through 15. Turn there with me tonight. Let's read that passage. John 17, and there in verse 9, the enemy of this world. So the world has an enemy. And this enemy is revealed right here in chapter 17, verse 9. It says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All are mine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that gavest me I have kept. None of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. That's the enemy of the world, is those that love Jesus, those that love Christ, those that belong to Jesus tonight are hated by them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil, right? The whole world lieth in wickedness. And Jesus is saying, I don't want to take them out of this system, but I do want you to keep them safe and from the evil, right? Because that's what this world is. It's evil. The whole world lieth in wickedness. And so there's an enemy of this world. There's a love of this world. There's a rejection of this world. There's a hate of this world. There's a children of this world. There's cares of this world. There's a worship of this world. In Acts chapter 19, verse 27 and 28, it says that the whole world worshiped idols. There's a riches of this world in Romans 11:12. We're not going to read all these because it takes too much time. There's the wisdom of this world, 1 Corinthians 1:20. There is a spirit of this world, 1 Corinthians 2:12. There is a fashion of this world, 1 Corinthians 7:31. That there's voices of this world, 1 Corinthians 14:10. There are elements of this world, Galatians 4:3. There is a course of this world, how people walk, Ephesians 2:2. There is darkness of this world, Ephesians 6:12. There are rudiments of this world, Colossians 2:8. There are pollutions of this world. Peter, 2 Peter 2:20. There are sins of this world. 1 John 2:2. There are the talk of this world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 5. Look at that, because that's back near to our text here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So they love their own, they hear their own, they take care of their own, they have the language of their own, and their own as far as hearing and far as understanding, and who are they going to hear? They're not going to hear the church, because they hate the church. They're not going to hear of Christ. They hate the Christ. They're not going to participate with the Holy Spirit. They can't receive Him. And so they hate God. They oppose God. They oppose Christ. And so who are they going to listen to? They're going to listen to them. The world will listen to the world. Amen. So this thought tonight about the world and who is it and what is it tonight, it has a guide. And all of that that I just gave you tonight is in the world, right? And so we're talking about, you say, it sounds like it's pretty sophisticated. Does it seem like to you? I mean, if I went through 20 of those items tonight, and all those items have something like, there's an organization within this society. There is a purpose, there is a reason, there is a power, there is a structure within this system. We're not talking about a world tonight that's out of control. We're not talking about a world tonight that's in chaos. We're not talking about a world tonight that is just barely making it. Oh, no, not this world. Now, we might be looking around and seeing the world having tsunamis and earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes, and we might be seeing famine, and we might be seeing pestilence, and we might be seeing sickness and diseases, and we might be seeing economic issues here. We might be seeing a war here, and you look around in the whole thing, and you say, boy, I see all this going on. It looks like it's a bad situation, but don't get deceived tonight. That's not what I'm speaking of. The world that I'm talking about tonight, that you're not to love tonight, is perfect shape. It's well greased. It's in order. It's an arrangement. It's cosmos. It's all okay. Everything is exactly like it should be and ought to be. And tonight, let's not take for granted about what this world is tonight. And so there's a God of this world. There's a guide of this world. And then thirdly, the goal of this world. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 4 and verse 4. The goal of this world, this satanic system tonight, is to be a friend with the church. That's the goal of this satanic system. Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And who is Satan? Satan is an opposer of God. Satan is an enemy of God. Amen? God is an enemy to Satan. And tonight, if you become a friend to this world, then you're going to be an enemy of God. Wouldn't this satanic system really would just celebrate, would have all type of honors and all type of awards tonight if you become a friend of this world? You see, that's what the whole goal for this whole system is all about, this satanic system, is that you become a friend to it. That's why the Bible teaches against it. If the Bible didn't teach against it tonight, then I wouldn't be preaching it, right? I wouldn't even know. But because the Bible has to say that you and I, if we're in friendship with the world, we're enmity with God. But if we're a friend of the world, then we're an enemy of God. It's telling me tonight that the world wants to be a friend of mine, right? So tonight we see the goal of the satanic system is to be a friend to the church. to be a one that just goes next to the church, to just aid the church, to assist the church, to go arm in arm with the church, hip to hip with the church, step in step with the church. If the world can just come on in here, the world can just get part of us, the world can just sit down next to us, the world can just be all that we are and all in what we do, and if the world, the satanic system, can just kind of just move through and follow through and be part of what we're doing, and we become friends with this world tonight, friend, that's exactly what the goal is for this satanic system. Scary? Oh, you better believe it. Fearful? Oh, my. It's horrible to think this. The satanic system tonight is not only wanting to be a friend with the church, its goal, but it wants to be a foe to the church as well. In John chapter 10, look at verse 9. At the same time tonight that it wants to be a friend is the same time that it wants to steal and kill and destroy. That's what he wants. That's what this system wants tonight. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly tonight. We see that the system, the satanic system, wants to be a foe to the church. It wants to steal the church. It wants to kill the church. It wants to destroy the church. At the same time, it wants to be a friend to the church. Pretty clever. Pretty clever tonight. Pretty subtle. Oh, yes. He wants to not only be a friend with the church and a foe to the church, but it wants to be found in the church. You see, this old system, this satanic system, wants to be found in us. It wants to be found in Glory Baptist Church. It wants to be found in every Christian's home. It wants to be found in every Christian's heart. In every Christian's behavior and conduct, it wants to be found there. Yes. How do you know that? Well, turn your Bibles to James chapter 1 and verse 27. The Bible says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. The last phrase or the last words of that verse says this, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So what are we unspotted from? The satanic system. Why do we have to be so concerned if we're going to have pure religion, really going to be saved and born again? Why we got to be concerned about the world? Well, it says be unspotted by the world. In our church, in our home, and in our hearts. Don't allow that world to spot you. Don't allow that world to put a stain upon you. Don't allow the world to put a mark on you. Amen? Be unspotted. That's what it says. I'm just trying to tell you what it says tonight. The second thing I want you to notice, look, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and verse 2. Everybody who has any Bible knowledge would know what this passage has to say, but we'll read it for the scripture tonight. The Bible teaches us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Be conformed to what world? To the satanic society, to the satanic system that has now come forth, and it has its prince and its gods and its people. It has its wisdom, it has its spirit, it has its powers, it has all that it needs. And the Bible says to you and I that it wants to be found in us because we're told to be not conformed to this world. To not be fashioned like this. Not to become part and partakers of this world. Amen? That's what it's saying. So tonight, it wants to be found in us, but God said, don't be conformed to it. Amen? Don't allow it to be in you. Don't allow it to be part of you. Don't be conformed to it. The third thing I want you to see is Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says what the Lord did for us and on the cross of Calvary, there in chapter 1, verse 4. He says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world. Deliver us from the present evil. Deliver us from what? The rocks? The planets? The people? From the all that was ever created by man? No, by the satanic society, the satanic system. He saved us from that. From the very present evil system. Saved us. Well, I tell you. Then look at verse 14 of chapter 6 of Galatians. Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder what would cause Paul not to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, he gives the answer in the last portion of that scripture. It says, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I am dead to the satanic system. And the satanic system is dead to me. Now I can say, or I can glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that this satanic's goal is to be a friend with the church, it is to be a foe to the church, and to be found in the church. Worldliness tonight is the greatest danger to our church. If our church shuts its doors, it won't be because of some out influence. It won't be because of something on the outside. If this church closes its doors, if this church will end and be folded up, it will be because of the worldliness, the love of the internal, love of the world. That's what will cause it. That's what will cause the church to be without power, without joy, and without being used. Amen? Number two tonight, not do I have noticed that the greatest danger of the church, but I noticed the greatest deception of the church. I noticed that the Bible says back into our text in 1 John chapter 2 and there in verse 15, he says to us not only about love not the world, and we understood what that is now, but he says neither the things that are in the world. So the world is the satanic system. But now within that satanic system, there are things. Now those things are described there in verse 16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the things that are in the satanic system. So that's what he's saying to us tonight, that we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the system. Knowing the world is a system, a satanic system, opposing God, I want to say tonight, and I put this up here because I want you to notice something, because I thought about today when I put this out, that this little trap or this little cage could represent to us tonight in the way of maybe seeing it openly, that this cage would represent tonight the satanic society. Right here. This right here. This is all put together. It's been engineered. Satan's engineered his system. It's been developed. It's been produced. It's been provided for. And tonight we have a cage. Right? So the satanic system could be, if you look at this cage would be that system. Now within that cage tonight, we can look at something tonight. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, I say this to you, it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who take captive by him at his will. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Ephesians 6:11 says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So not only do we see the system is a cage, but I want you to notice the substance in the cage. The substance in the cage. It's peanut butter. Right? So what we're trying to do with this is we're trying to catch a squirrel. Right? We saw the squirrel peeking out the window of the nursery. We got a picture of it. He had his face out. And if you want to see the picture, I'd love to show you the picture of the church squirrel. So, tonight, in order for us to get that squirrel into this cage, it takes peanut butter. Or you might want to use cheese. Or you might want to use some other food or whatever, okay, to get this. Now, what we did, we opened this door right here and for some time and hoping that the squirrel would leave out the door. And on Monday, I came and put the cage here, put the peanut butter in there, and it's been there since Monday. We don't have any squirrel. I'm thinking it went out the side door. We shut those doors. Everything was shut. So when it came out, it could just go right out because I think the squirrel wants out as much as we want him out. All right? So that's the case on that. Back to this thought here. If this is the satanic cage or satanic system, and this satanic system here has substance within the system. It would without the satanic system would be no use if there was no substance in it, right? If the satanic system didn't have the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, it would have no use. But tonight, we want as the squirrel to get into this system. Tonight, the devil wants you into his system, right? So tonight, what he's going to do is he's going to use the lust of the flesh, he's going to use the lust of the eyes, and he's going to use the pride of life. And he's going to take that, and he's going to cause you to go through into the system. So when you get to the peanut butter, when you get to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you're in there and you trip it, right? And now you're caught into the satanic system, right? So what made that squirrel or what made you go into the satanic system? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, right? That's how it happens. You see, tonight, you probably thought that I was going to preach on worldliness and say, if you listen to rock and roll music, you're worldly. Cut that out. That's not the truth. If we're going to understand what worldly is, now I don't want you to say, okay, I guess Brother Larry said I can go listen to rock and roll now. I didn't say that either. I am saying, though, in order for you to get caught in this satanic system, he's going to use rock and roll as the lust of the flesh for you to move right into his system. You see? Then once you take of that rock and roll, the doors are shut, and now you're in captive. Now you're in a snare, just like the other verse is saying. Now you're in the very snare of the devil. You're in the captivity of the devil, and now while you're in worldliness, it wasn't the rock and roll. It wasn't whatever sin tonight that you want to use as peanut butter. Whatever depraved, whatever vice, whatever you want to say tonight, you can use 1,000 of those things tonight. But I'm going to use peanut butter because it represents all of it. And it doesn't really matter of what you say. You got to understand the system. And the system of this world is throwing out the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we as people tonight is just taking it. And while we take it, we get into the system, and now we're worldly. Right? It wasn't the cage. It wasn't the door. It was the peanut butter. That's how you got into this worldliness tonight. because you're in the system that the devil has done. You take Eve, for example. Don't turn there, but in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. You take Eve, and you say, okay, God made a tree, and he said to Eve and to Adam, do not eat of the tree, right? And so all three of those were there with Eve. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Is that something else, so? So you know why? Because, see, the devil wanted all of mankind to be depraved, to fall. That was the system. And so he had the tree, and he had Eve. She looked at it. It was good. She looked at it and said, boy, I tell you, I'd like to have that. Then I could become like God. And now she's in the system. It wasn't that the Satan was saying, I want her to eat the tree. That wasn't his goal. His goal was that all the world would be depraved and fall. And it was a tree. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. How about Achan? It wasn't that, oh, God, the devil pulled out Achan and said, okay, Achan, you're going to be my one that I'm going to use. And you're full of the devil, Achan, and you don't love God, Achan. None of that's true. You know what it was? The satanic system was he wanted the Israelites to lose the battle. What'd he do? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He took, went down. He's in the system. Jesus was there with the devil. Jesus was tempted with the lust of the eyes. He was tempted with the lust of the flesh. He was tempted with the pride of life. All three of those. Jesus defeated the devil by the word of God. Right? That's what happened. And the only way that you and I are going to defeat this system, this satanic system, is by the Word of God. The only way. And tonight we find that the substance is so tricky, that it's so demanding, that the world that we live in tonight, whether it's on a TV show, whether it's on a movie, whether it's on a music, whether it's on an entertainment, whether it's driving, whether it's listening, whether it's walking, it doesn't matter tonight. There's a billion things out there tonight that is just coming towards you a billion times. It's running through your mind. It's running through your heart. It's running through your imaginations. And it's there, and it's for your taking. And the lust and desires and cravings and longings of you tonight, you partake of them. You look upon them. The pride of life you take the possessions of. And the devil captivates you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in it. Amen? We find tonight the strategy for the cage. Not only the substance of the cage, and not only the example there that we see, the system of the cage. What does the strategy of the cage do? Why would he, the God of this world, why would he want to take you and lure you in with peanut butter? What does that do? Well, if that squirrel was in this cage, that squirrel would be caught, right? Would you say that I have weakened that squirrel's ability to do what he wants to do? Would you agree? All right. Would you say that if that squirrel was in that cage, that I would not only weaken this squirrel as he weakens the church because of worldliness, but he changes the church by worldliness? Do you not think I changed this little squirrel's life? His life's changed now. Because once I catch them, once I get them, we're not just letting them go. Uh-uh. Squirrel soup. Tortillas. Now, we're not going to do any of that. But I promise you, it won't be back into this church. You know what happened? I went down to the Ace hardware store, and I told that lady, I said, do you have any? I said, this might be crazy to you, but I got a squirrel in my church, and it's tearing my church up. And she said, oh, yeah, we got something for that. I said, well, I need something to kill it. She said, you can't kill a squirrel? I said, I bet you I can kill a squirrel. What you got? I mean, I need poison. I need something, man, to kill this squirrel. And she said, you can't kill the squirrel. And I said, I tell you what I do. I catch the squirrel, then I kill it. She said, you can't do that. It was like a great, great break in the law if I kill a squirrel, right? And so, anyway, she got real nervous. She's got excited about this thing, about me killing a squirrel. But, friend, that's my mindset on the squirrel. Squirrel comes over, eating up on that, tore up on that there. And, it's going to cost a squirrel. Let me tell you something right here. You get caught in this satanic system, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you tonight. He's in there. What it does for the church, it weakens the church, worldliness does. Not only does it weaken the church, but it changes the church. Not only does it change the church tonight, but he uses the church. So once worldliness gets into the church is no longer the same. This little guy's no longer the same. And we could use him for soup. We could use him for something else besides dead on the road or whatever it's going to be called. But friend, I'll say to you tonight, the fact of the matter is that whenever the worldliness gets into the church now has no impact on the world. I promise you, if that squirrel gets into this cage, it will not attempt to ever come back into this church and do anything that it did before. And that's what happens in the worldliness when it gets into the church. The impact is gone. Amen? No more impact. Hey, once the world gets into the church, there's no more influence. Once the world gets into the church tonight, there is no more interruption. There's nothing. The church is different, isn't it? The church isn't part of this satanic or the satanic society or satanic system. It's different. How do you know it's different? Well, Jesus said in John 17:16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, when you get saved and you get born again, friend, you find yourself no longer of the world. You're no longer of this satanic system any longer. But that makes you different, doesn't it? Doesn't it make you different? If you're going to be coming out of the world, you're different. Hey, there was a time tonight, church, that the church was different. There was a time when you looked at people and they looked different. You say, Ben, them people there are different. They look different, and they look different because of what they wore. Amen. They look different because of how they've kept themselves. They look different because of the way that they just carried themselves. The church is different tonight. And the greatest danger of the church tonight is worldliness. And I believe tonight in 2022 that the church is full of worldliness. We don't even look different no more. You know, tonight, I believe tonight when men come to church, you ought to look like you're going to church. I believe when women come to church, you ought to look like you're going to church. Amen? I believe tonight, whenever you go out as a child of God into this world, you ought to look like a man. And when you are a woman and you go out into this world as a Christian woman, a Christian man, you look like a woman. Amen. You want to wear jeans and tight jeans and tight shirts and tight skirts, and guys want to wear the tight jeans and, and the button down on the shirts, and they want to wear shorts and show off their legs, their moles, and all this other junk, man. Listen, friend, what's wrong with you? Are you in a satanic system? That you done took the bait? You done took what was put out, the peanut butter from the devil? And now you're thinking tonight, because I'm saved and because I know God, that I can just look any kind of way I want to look? I'm going to heaven when I die? Friend, you're hooked. You're in captivity. You know, there was a time when the church was different and it looked different, but there was a time when the church only looked different, but they talked different. They just talked different. That you didn't hear them cuss. You didn't hear them be sarcastic. You didn't hear them use sarcasm. You didn't hear them use jest and jesting. There was a time when the church talked, and it was a way of respect and a way of honor and a way of uplifting and edifying. It did talk of gossip. It did talk of lies. It did talk of deception. Talk of truth. Church. The world will destroy us. The world. Were you different? We talk different. We don't use God's name in vain. We don't use the derivative of God. We don't use Jesus Christ's name in any kind of conversation except the uplifting and magnifying of His name. We don't use the off words that start with an F, an S. There was a time when the church was different, that it looked different, talked different. They thought different. They thought different. The time when there was no Christian who ever believed that abortion was right. There was time when a Christian who knows God would never say that same-sex marriage is okay. There's a time when drunkenness and drug addict and homosexuality and abortion and the fornication and adultery was wrong. That's how you thought. But worldliness has crept in, and it's destroying the church. We used to walk different. We used to walk different. We didn't walk like the next door neighbor. We didn't walk like the worker at work. We didn't walk like a family member. We walked different. We went to different places. We walked. And friend, people looked at the church and said, you know what? There's something different about them. You won't catch them in a beer joint. You won't catch them in a dance hall. You won't catch them stealing. You'll not catch them amongst the drugs and amongst the drunkards. They worshiped different. They worked different. They sang different. Because they sang the songs that brought God glory and brought praise unto Jesus. That's the songs they sung. They believed different. They believed Jesus is God. They feared different. They didn't fear the virus. They didn't fear the disease. They didn't fear sickness. They didn't fear cancer. They didn't fear high blood pressure. They didn't fear. They feared God. Church, aren't we different? They fought different. They didn't fight this world. They fought the good fight of faith. They didn't fight one another. They didn't fight their husbands and wives. They didn't fight their children. They didn't fight the preacher. They fought the devil. They fought different. You know what, tonight? They were just different. You know what's wrong with the church tonight? The church is concentrating on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the sin tonight. and they have lost sight of the system, the satanic system called the world. And we got ourselves in such a place. We've got ourselves in such lust, and with our eyes and with our lives and with our flesh, and we got so much pride of life and possessions today that we are in such depthness and in such length in the satanic system. It's choking our church's power. It's choking our influence, our impact. We're not making a difference anymore. We're not making a difference to people across the street. We're not making a difference to people at work. We're not making a difference in anywhere we go no more, because they can't see the difference, because we have been captivated inside the system. Love not the world, neither the things that are in it. So we're measuring ourselves tonight. Oh, I don't get drunk. That's not even a question. I compare myself with others and say, you know, I'm a little better than that guy, or I do more than this guy. We're loving ourselves. Say, it's going to be okay. Everybody's a sinner. We're not understanding that the cage of the satanic system tonight that we are captive in, and we're going about arguing about religions, and we're arguing about ideologies, and we're arguing about philosophies, and we're arguing about entertainments, and we're arguing about fashions, we're arguing about lifestyles, when we have no knowledge that we're inside of the cage, eating the peanut butter. Deceived, deceived, deceived. God help us tonight. The greatest destruction of the church is my last point. And verse 15 says, when worldliness is in, the love of the Father is out. It says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't be saved tonight and love the world. You can't love two entities at one time. Either love or you hate, but you can't do both. Tonight we find the greatest destruction of the church tonight is worldliness, because the love of the world has brought no love of the Father in them. Number two, the life of the follower is not of the Father. Think verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. So if this is the life you're living, you're allowing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to direct you, to demand you, to drive you. This is who you are. You're all about this satanic system. The Bible says you're not of the Father. The life of the Father is not of the follower is not of the Father. Then lastly, the lust of the faithless is without the Father. Verse 17 says, and the world passeth away. That satanic system is going to pass away, and the lust of that system is going to go as well. Tonight, the church is enjoying the worldly ways. Tonight, the church is enjoying the worldly wisdom. Tonight, the church is enjoying the worldly walk. But someday, one day, it's over. It's over. It's going to pass away. The satanic system will die. The satanic system will be destructed or destroyed, and the satanic system will be departed one day. Now, who will last? Those that do the will of God. Those that do the Word of God. That's how you exist in this system. It's up to you tonight. God help us tonight. I'm not saying tonight that our church is in worldliness, but I am saying in general, as churches in general, it's worldly. And that's why there's no power in the pulpit. That's why there's no presence of God. And that's why tonight there's no success in winning souls to Christ. Worldliness. God help us tonight. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe tonight you might just come to the conclusion and said, you know what, I'm in this system. I don't want to be in this system, though. And you can get out tonight. You sure can. Two ways you can get out of the system tonight. Tonight you can come and get saved. You ask Christ Jesus to save you tonight. Repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. Trust Jesus tonight as Lord and Savior. And tonight you'll be removed from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You can do that tonight. You can come out of this system. If you don't come out by the blood tonight, you can't come out. Secondly, tonight, if you're a Christian and you got caught and you've been captivated in the system because of the lust of your flesh and the lust of your eyes and the lust and the pride of life tonight, you can repent and confess your sin. And Jesus is gracious and loving, kind. He is faithful tonight to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Tonight is time that the church of Glory Baptist Church examine how we're living. Is worldliness in our home? Is worldliness in our church? Is worldliness in our hearts? If so, tonight is time to get it out. Give the devil no more victory. You want a happy home? Kick out the devil. You want a happy marriage? Kick out the devil. You want a happy life? Kick out the devil. You can't be in his system and be okay. How about you tonight? You come. You come. All right, none has come, so I guess we'll pray tonight. Any prayer request from anyone?
In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, raise the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through